Good morning. I want to preach a sermon this morning on two ways to live. That's going to be in 2 Corinthians 5, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 and 15 will be the primary passage. It's always exciting to be able to share God's word before you. Can we admit something this morning? We have all been influenced by this world, by the God of this world. We have, in fact, the problem is worse than we know. Our thinking, our knowing about God, about ourselves, about those around us, are significantly affected by our sinful hearts, by the deceiver, and by those who have been deceived around us. And I don't know if we've taken much time to ponder deception and what is true in life. And one of the great deceptions today is that we live in a way that we want to live, and we think God is okay with that. Okay. In other words, God has a way, and that way is distinctly different than my way. My way, I would like my day to go very well, no problems, right? We would like to not have to go through any trials, and if you stub your toe or run into somebody who you stub their toe and they get upset, we would rather not have those things, and we might get upset, and we think, you know, there's something wrong because the world is not happening the way we would desire it to happen. Our way is not being seen through. The Scripture gives us God's way. It lets us know truth. It is the only thing. Give this a thought. It is the only thing that we have that is absolutely true. The only thing. And this is significant because I need to be confronted by this. Our passage here in 2 Corinthians, let me get to the right book of the Bible here. 2 Corinthians 5, 13 to 14. Paul has been writing in his letter here to the Corinthians. And the Corinthians, the people of Corinth were living in a time period and in a culture very similar to ours. And he comes to a place here that I want us to consider. In verse 14, it says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judged thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." This is saying there's a characteristic about those who are living in Christ. And those who are living in Christ live not unto themselves, but for him. And so let's just look for a moment at what is God's way. When we think about what is true in reality today, we know that God exists, that he is the ruler, he is the creator of all of creation, the universe as we know it and beyond. All is under his authority. That is a fact. That is something that we have to come to grips with. And Revelation 4:11 says, "You are worthy, O Lord God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will, they were created and have their being. So by God's way, by God's will, everything exists. We are really in His house. We go by His rules. I love what Augustus Strong, he has this definition of God. God is the infinite and perfect spirit in whom all things have their source, support, and end. He is the ruler of all. He made the world. In fact, we have confirmation only by God's word and by God's spirit. His interjecting into our life brings confirmation that God exists. Without God's word and without His spirit, we do not have that confirmation, but He provides that. So God, we know that in Genesis, God made us in His image, and He made us to live here and to rule, to be, if you will, governors on this earth. And so God did put in His way, He put us as image bearers, ones who reflect the Maker, to rule this world this in His under His good leadership, giving thanks and honor and glory to Him. Just like He created the angels, right? Not just like, but He created the angels to operate within their sphere and to give God glory. But we know there was a problem. Before man fell, there was a falling in heaven, right? And the basis of that falling in heaven by Lucifer was he wanted his way. He wanted to receive the glory. He believed his way was right. God's way was not. And that's really the, if you will, the essence we see of sin as it comes down through history is opposing God's way, God's glory, God's way. Because now we realize we were tempted, but we still chose our own way in the garden. When Eve sinned, we went our own rebellious way from God's way. God showed us the way. He counseled us how we ought to live. And we chose another way. And today we still struggle with that. God has told us how we ought to live, and we still over and over choose our own way. We have a rebellious, sinful, deceiving heart. Isaiah, the prophet, in 53:6 says, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to what? His own way." I have a tendency to go my own way. And so we all have rejected the ruler in one way or another. Sin is that lack of conformity to God's way, God's law, in either how we act and now in our disposition or in our state of being a sinner. You know, sin is that choice to choose self as the supreme end rather than God, the supreme end. In fact, we would rather be in opposition to God. This is what we fight against. This is the flesh. This is that unredeemed part of us. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we still have this unredeemed flesh that will one day be taken care of when we're glorified in heaven. But that is in opposition to God. I often like to think of this as my Pandora's box. I want to keep that thing shut. I don't open that up because all kinds of junk will flow out of that. So I put it to death. I mortify it, as the Bible says. So God judges and will judge all humanity for rebellion against Him. And this is God's way. This is understanding how He has established. Hebrews says, just as people are destined to die once, every person will die, and after that, face judgment. God won't let us rebel against Him forever. There will be a judgment. And so that punishment, we know, is what? Death. That punishment is death for that rebellion, for that going astray. Now, we understand that God has a way. We understand God's way because he's written in his word. We understand that we have a tendency to go our own way, and we do go our own way. But God provided in Christ a provision to be forgiven for going our own way. Isaiah again says, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the iniquity, the sin of us all. So because of God's love, God sent his Son into the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus always lived under God's way. Not my will, but yours be done, Jesus modeled before us. Jesus modeled a life of living under the rule of God. Jesus then lived that perfect life that we do not live, that we would be punished for by death, and he died our death. He took our punishment. The perfect Son of God took our punishment. And we know that we'll be celebrating next month the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in God's power, in God's provision, he raised Jesus to life as now a ruler and Savior and offers forgiveness. 1 Peter 1:3 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, by his resurrection of the dead, we have confirmation for that forgiveness. And God raised Jesus to life again, and he now is, he is King Jesus. He is going to set his throne in heaven. And so Jesus conquered death, brings forgiveness and new life. So it is put back to us to receive, to, if you will, choose God's way. We can. He provides a way for us to choose his way. Even though Ephesians, Paul says, we were dead in our trespasses and sin. And Pastor Chris preached on this in verse 4 of chapter 2. But God, who's rich in mercy, says, but God, Ephesians 2, 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. So every person is challenged to not go their own way, but to choose God's way, to repent and turn to him and believe. For whosoever believes in the Son has eternal life, John 3 says. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for the wrath of God remains on him. So really, there's only two ways to live. There's two ways to live. There's a way of rejecting God as ruler, our Adam and Eve, our, if you will, our father in the flesh rejected God as ruler, chose to live their own way, and they were damaged by their rebellion and faced death, and we all face death and judgment. But for the grace of God, who provided a way that we might submit to God's way through Jesus Christ as our ruler, that we might rely on Jesus Christ for his death and resurrection, that we might be forgiven by God through that provision and receive a new life. For even Paul writes just before this that we're no longer, we've been changed, that we are no, we're, if anyone is in Christ, verse 17, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So my first challenge in the message here is for you, if you have never submitted to God's provision for salvation, for forgiveness, I challenge you. The gospel is clear. God's way is manifest in his word. And Paul writes earlier in in 2 Corinthians, that if our gospel be hid, it is hid to those whom the God of this world has blinded the minds. It says, if this is in verse 3 of chapter 4, it says, even if our gospel is veiled or hid, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, and do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. If you understand this message, it is a privilege that God has given to you. You are privileged to understand this, because God's Spirit takes his word and illumines our heart to understand it. And we have that opportunity to receive that gift, that new life. In this segue, I'm going to pray for a moment, if we could bow our heads. God, I'm so thankful that though we are affected by sin and our minds think in ways that are against your way, that you have given us your word, that you have given us your Spirit, that you have illuminated our hearts by your Spirit as we read your word to understand its significance. And I pray, Lord, that anyone here this morning that has heard this message and has never called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and believed on him for his provision by you, dear God, for the paid in full satisfaction for the penalty of sin paid by the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that they would this morning. I pray that they would pray even right now, that they might ask you to forgive them of their sin. Lord, I pray that as we continue, that you would open our minds as believers, that we would not live according to our own way, but according to your way. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to continue because believers are characterized by what Paul says here, by not living any longer to their own selves, to their own way. A believer is characterized by what they've been given, certainly. They've been given life, for the love of Christ compels us or constrains us, because we judge this, that one died, and that he died for all, that those who live, we've been given life, that we would no longer live, so we are characterized by what we're no longer living for. Old things have passed away. New pursuits have come into play, into our minds. And then we're characterized by whose advantage we are living for now. And that is for him who died and rose again. Now, like I said, when we began here, we are greatly affected by our world, by my own heart, by my own desires. I want things, and I choose things in life. You know, we're making choices every day, thousands of choices. Let me ask you, how many of those choices that you make every day? And we're talking thousands of choices from the very beginning just to when you're going to get up and put your feet on the floor and what you're going to do right after that. How many of those decisions are intentionally following God's way as opposed to following my own way? Let me just challenge you in a few things. Number one, I think we need to be careful that we are not pulled and sucked into the way of our world. 1 John says, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, and the world here would be a system that is against God's way. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So this is a characteristic of one who is not in Christ. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will, or the way of God, abides forever. This is a challenge to live today in our Corinth and not be swayed by temporary pleasures, temporary desires. MacArthur says, a believer does not seek his own advantage by lusting after the invisible spiritual system of the devil dominated, of the evil dominated by Satan. So our world is being led. Our world is being led. So we need to be conformed to God's word instead. We need to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. That's our reasonable worship. And we're not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So how do we do that? Well, I'm thankful that you're here. I hope that you're here to worship God. You're here to encourage the brothers and sisters. You are an encouragement. You're here and you're an encouragement. But we're also here so that we're all coming in with baggage and markings and smudges and greased up black with grease from living in a world that's tainted by sin and that is affecting us. So we come together as a church body to grow, to warm, to be cleansed. I need you to show me, to encourage me. Hey, Dan, you're not walking straight here. You're pursuing a way that is not consistent with God's way. You need to turn from that because this will lead in more trouble in our life. So we ought to be being careful of the world in which we live. I think we also need to be careful, if I can go a little bit further into the world in which we live, and you know where I'm going. And this is, we live in a world that has highlighted fornication or taken sexuality and misused it. In Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul writes here, for this is the will of God for you believers, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, that is, separated, holy use for God. Verse 5 of chapter 4, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles do, who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of or defraud his brother in this manner. Wow, he's really talking about this. And I need to be careful that as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we don't defraud. And defraud would be to arouse something in someone that you cannot lawfully fulfill. And so we have to be careful, men and women, boys and girls in the body here. because the Lord is the avenger of such. And we also forewarn you and testify. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but to holiness. God's way is a way of holiness, and that is good. His love, if you will, His love sent His Son so that you can be holy. A Christian is a saint, one who is holy, one who is set apart for holy use. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but rejects God, who has also given us His Holy Spirit. So a believer does not seek his own advantage by indulging in immoral relationships and pleasures outside of marriage. So we must be careful. Are we seeking our own advantage, our own way, or God's way? There's two ways to live. What way are you characterized by? So this is a challenge for each one of us living in our world. The writer of Hebrews says, marriage is honorable among all, in the marriage bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. So God's way is important to Him here. Let me just say another area here. Let's let three, okay? And we could go all day and talk about different areas where we struggle to go our own way rather than God's way. But this is one that, you know, where the rubber meets the road, and this would be at work. And it doesn't matter where you work. If you work in this church, if you work in the school, if you work across the street, wherever, if it's a Christian-based organization or not, we struggle with living according to our own way at work. And I would say we struggle here because in this area that Paul says in Colossians 3:23, that we need to be careful as workers or as bondservants, those who are under the authority of our master, to obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as man pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. For whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto man, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ, but he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, for there is no partiality. What is cool about this passage is that your work, whether it is secular or sacred, is all sacred. There is no unsacred work. We all work as unto the Lord, wherever we are. We should work heartily as unto the Lord, not as man-pleasers, but as unto the Lord. And so I pray that we would strive not to live selfishly in working for selfish ambition, for selfish gain, for my way, but for God's way, wherever we are. We're not to be lazy. We're not to be selfish. We're to be God-oriented in my work, wherever I am, wherever God puts me sovereignly. And this is a challenge for me because, you know, it doesn't take you long to live in this world, whether you're working with a Christian or a non-Christian, to be tempted to not live as God would have us to live, to say things that we ought not to say, to do things that we ought not to do, to have integrity, to have just weights. And so, what way am I living? I think every day I must realize that as I put my feet on the ground in the morning, that my way is going to naturally be, it is going to feel good and be very easy to do my own thing. Every day. Every day I can live my own life, my best life now, right? No, I could choose that. And as a Christian, I ought not to be doing that. And there will be, if you will, fruit that comes out of that kind of living. It's not going to be a thriving living. As I live according to my own passions and my own flesh, I know that James says, oh, there's probably going to be tension and fights. There's going to be warring. I know that as I pursue things more than pleasing God, that I'm going to be angry when I don't get what I want. And I do things that are unloving to my neighbor. So what do I need to do to go from living my way to living God's way? As we began with one who has never trusted Christ, they must repent and turn to Christ, put faith in Him, and by faith in Him, by what God supplies, we may walk in newness of life because of what Christ has done for us. And as a believer, I don't leave the gospel. I must continually go to the gospel every day and say, God, I repent. I fear things I shouldn't fear. I love things I shouldn't love. Forgive me, Lord, for that. Lord, put within you a heart that loves you and fears you and puts weight on you more than anything else, that I will do anything. Life, whether life or death, I want to pursue what pleases you, Lord, in everything. And by God's grace, He will give us what we need to do that. Not by our own flesh, not by doing our own thing, not by pulling myself up by my own bootstraps, but by looking to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. May His love compel us, as our passage says. May the love of Christ compel us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, that all died. And He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. Lord God, I pray that this morning we might be encouraged because You are the provider. You've provided through Jesus Christ everything that we need for life and for godliness. And so, dear God, we cry out to You now that we might commit ourselves today and every day, regularly going to what Christ has done on our behalf and providing the faith necessary, the strength necessary to walk in obedience according to Your way. Lord, help us to pursue Your way today, whether it is at work, at home, at our church right here. May You be glorified. We give You thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.